Cybersicherheit ist weiblich. Problem nur, viele wissen das gar nicht. Wie auch, es wird ja viel zu wenig darüber geredet. Das wollen wir ändern. Und deshalb machen wir bei Mind the Tech ein bisschen Platz und schaffen Raum für Gespräche mit Frauen, die jeden Tag ihren Beitrag dazu leisten, die Cyberwelt ein kleines bisschen sicherer zu machen.
Ob in Verwaltung, Politik, Wirtschaft oder Lehre, sie alle leisten Großes. Und das wollen wir sichtbar machen. Im Gespräch wollen wir erfahren, was sie antreibt, wo sie herkommen und wo sie hinwollen. Warum wir das tun? Weil eine diverse digitale Welt im wahrsten Sinne des Wortes diverse Geschichten braucht. Und genau diese wollen wir hier erzählen, beziehungsweise erzählen lassen von denjenigen, die sie prägen.
Von Frauen für Frauen und all jene, die es interessiert.
In diesem Sinne, herzlich willkommen bei der Liga der außergewöhnlichen Cyberfrauen.
Was ist sympathisch, offenherzig und gleichzeitig brandgefährlich? Es ist unsere heutige Gästin Christina Licati. Sympathisch halt. Offenherzig, weil sie beim Beantworten unserer Fragen auch Persönliches von sich preisgegeben hat. Und brandgefährlich, weil sie HackerInnen den Kampf angesagt hat. Bei der CyberRisk GmbH entwickelt Christina Konzepte zur Bekämpfung von Social Engineering. Ihr wisst schon, diese extrem perfide Art, um sich in Unternehmen und Organisationen reinzuhacken. Was den Reiz an diesem Job ausmacht, hat sie bereitwillig mit uns für euch geteilt. Kleine Info, das Gespräch haben wir aufgrund von Christinas griechischem Background auf Englisch geführt. So, welcome dear Christina. For our part, we are really happy to have you here on our podcast today. Welcome.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a great pleasure to meet you. It's a great pleasure to be here with you today and to talk.
Yeah. Well, we have tons of questions, but the first question is, could you please introduce yourself to the audience? Because although you're very busy in the world of cybersecurity, some of our listeners may not know you. So would you please introduce yourself, especially the businesswoman, Christina?
Yeah, that's a good way to start about it. Well, for the people that haven't heard anything about me, which I can imagine are quite a few, I have a business and degree in psychology, but I work in the field of cybersecurity. Specifically, I'm into social engineering. I take care of the social engineering aspect of defense, of cybersecurity defense. I help the human element of security build better habits, be aware of what kind of social engineering campaigns that are out there, and proactively help them protect themselves. Now, in this realm, I also did a deep dive into open source intelligence because, you know, you cannot do proper social engineering if you don't know what open source intelligence is and how threat actors use publicly available information against you. So I started honing my skills in open source intelligence and the investigative aspect of cybersecurity so that I can create protective intelligence for high value targets and corporations.
Let's suppose you have 3 hashtags at your disposal that describe your personality, because now we heard about your business side. What would they be?
Well, they are interconnected. I mean, you bring part of your personality into the business, and one of them has to be curiosity. We had a brief conversation earlier and you mentioned immediate curious could be one of them. It is one of them. The second is nerd. I'm a very big nerd in life in general. The same amount of reading and analysis that I put into deciphering social engineering attacks, I put the same effort into my gardening, into cooking. I love cooking, into everything. And I reach a very nerdy level with these things. And the third one would definitely be analytical. Ah, a blessing and a curse.
So nerdy cook with some analytical skills. I mean, that sounds cool.
Yeah. Candidate for our podcast.
Yeah, perfect.
But for some people, it sounds like a lot of mental labor.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, true.
And it sounds that true.
And what about cybersecurity in your private everyday life? When was the last time you changed your password?
Oh, that's a tricky one.
Last time I changed the password was about 2 weeks ago, but I would say it doesn't matter because should we rely on the password alone as the most important method of authentication? No, not really. I also rely on other security behaviors, like making sure a social engineer won't suddenly steal all of my credentials, attempt an account I take over on my Instagram, Twitter accounts, whatever. But also applying multi-factor authentication and other authentication methods is a good idea, and I apply it in my private life because I know that threat actors also target individuals, and I don't want to be one of the victims, ideally. So if you know that you can do something better, it's a good idea to do it.
Hmm. At the end of the day, we can just reduce the risk. I mean, we can't reach the level of zero risk, but
we
can reduce it as far as possible. Well, Christina, as far as we know, you have been raised by a well-respected risk management and cybersecurity expert. And we wonder, what was it like as a child when your father read you bedtime stories? Were they about evil hackers and then the prince came and chased them all away?
I will say yes and no. They were not the bedtime stories. Thankfully, we had a whole bookcase of more childlike stories. But I have to say that the storytelling element was definitely there. So my dad, in his effort to teach us lessons about the world and about protecting ourselves from the not so kind people in our societies, he would sometimes share stories of real case scenarios, always in a very mystical story-like way. He wouldn't share too many details. We always wanted to know more. Or he would find opportunities to comment on something we would read on the news, to show us something based on that story or what we read in the news. But he had that talent of making it interesting. So storytelling was there. And sometimes we would sit together. Sometimes he would show us what can happen on the internet, what technical skills can do, always in an interesting way. And that somehow clicked very well with that curious aspect that we talked about. So yeah, that worked well with the lessons.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think storytelling is so important in such a complex field as cybersecurity.
Yeah, and I mean, when you are a kid, you're not gonna sit and be lectured. You do that at school. It wouldn't be interesting. But now that I'm a bit older, I see that also, adults want the storytelling aspect of cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. They want the mystery. They want to figure out what happened in the end and how we can do things better. And they take the lesson learned.
How else did your father influence you? Was he the main reason why you have chosen this field?
I had a natural interest in what he was doing, in the investigative aspect of what he was doing, in the way he was thinking. I was very intrigued. And then it's just that we were so much in contact with this topic here and there that, yeah, eventually I ended up working in cybersecurity. It wasn't always my plan. I had other ideas. I wanted to be a vet in the beginning. But I don't do very well with blood and injections after all. Later, I developed an interest in people. You probably know that. In people, in psychology, that never went away. But I always felt a calling that would be different than only being a psychologist or only being something else. And I was always leaning eventually towards cybersecurity. So yeah, he was a big influence, I think, both mentally and in terms of genes.
Mm. But that's a good point, because you just mentioned that you studied psychology, and despite the influence of your father, I mean, you could have studied computer science or software engineering, but you chose psychology. Why was that?
So first, because I felt that I had a natural need, again, to understand how humans operate. Mm-hmm. I knew about social engineering attacks, and I was curious to know what's happening there. How did they come up with this idea? Why is this working? What could that other person do to defend against that? Because it can be very difficult. That was extremely fascinating. And also because I wanted to understand the people around me better. Mm-hmm. The good thing that my dad did is that he did not impose his opinion, himself, what he thought was the right path. He never imposed it on us. He left us explore freely. So we had this rule at home that there is an open bar when it comes to books. We were able to go on Amazon and get books that we were interested in. And for me, that was always human related. And then he kind of picked up on this interest and he started giving me ideas like, you know, that you could connect profiling with social engineering. And a few years later, my first talk ever that I presented to a public audience was about profiling and social engineering through social media. I didn't know it back then. At the time, I was only exploring. But yeah, he has been a very big influence now that I'm thinking about it again.
Yeah.
I want a flat rate too at Amazon.
We have this at home too. My kids do not have to pay for any books.
Okay.
But isn't that great?
Yeah.
Perfect.
And then if they tell you, you know, oh, I'm more interested in like in flowers or I'm more interested in science, you pick up on the signals kids give you. They will express it. And even if it's something they read once and then abandon, so be it. That's okay. They got to explore it. And we had that as well. We also tried different things and then we abandoned them. But somehow, for me, psychology was always staying there. The investigative aspect was always something interesting and so on.
Yeah. And today you are the main developer of the social engineering training programs offered by CyberRisk. What fascinates you about this topic most?
So many things. I would say that social engineering, but cyber attacks in general, can be quite innovative. They can be quite interesting. It's always a game of cat and mouse. So it never gets boring. I find them interesting. I find them like a nice, interesting mental challenge, a puzzle. Plus, it was something that was very easy for me to understand. Humans were interesting to me. Eventually, my upbringing, the whole background, the whole history, everything came together and it was, I don't know, it just clicked.
But I wonder, isn't it sometimes very disappointing because psychology means that you literally look into people's head or people's way of thinking? And I think sometimes you have to deal with very evil persons. Isn't this sometimes very scary or, yeah, disappointing? How do you cope with that?
It is difficult. I agree. You don't want to look at the dark side. Or sometimes you are curious, you are intrigued, you want to look at the dark side, but of course, it leaves a mark on you. You don't just turn the computer off and think, "Oh, okay, that's fine. Let's go do something else now." No, sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it puts you into a dark moment. What has been useful for me is to make sure that my private life is as honest as possible, that I'm not contributed to this type of darkness. I try my best. The private life acts as a balancing factor, and somehow we need to have that balancing factor. You need to be able to turn off the computer and then look around you and see something more beautiful than all the bad. And the second is the fact that in the end of the day, you try to reduce that. You try to do something that keeps people safe. So that has a sense of purpose for me.
So sometimes you literally force yourself to do some sort of digital detox.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes, I have one planned in December because otherwise, no, your mind takes you in weird places. No. I had those days that we would visit a restaurant and I would look around and I would think there is at least a percentage of people in here that have very dark secrets. And this is when I have to think, okay, stop. Don't think this now. This does not work. Maybe they do, maybe they don't, but look around at your table and yeah, that's the world you should care about now.
Okay, so resilience is something that you regularly train, for example.
Yes.
Maybe after the recording, you can teach me some techniques because I'm not that resilient as I want to be, but this is another topic.
It's a muscle. I like that you mentioned it's something you train. Yes, it is a muscle and it doesn't always work well. Sometimes you're tired.
It is indeed a muscle. You have to train it.
Yeah, true.
Yes.
What are the advantages of your psychology know-how bringing you into the battle of cybercrime?
So, yeah, excellent question. That matters a lot because everybody thinks that you need to have only a technical background. I'm not saying this is not useful. Yes, this is also very useful. Psychology brings a different perspective into the mix, and it brings a different pool of knowledge into the mix because, again, cybersecurity is a complex topic. But also, it is a technical challenge, but it is also a behavioral challenge because as long as managers and employees can hand access to systems, assets, information, they become targets by social engineering technique, by social engineers. And so cybersecurity depends on them too. By knowing psychology, you help on the one hand, the individual by explaining better what is happening, how social engineering attacks work and what they have to do. You learn to explain better, you understand how they learn, their motives, how to apply these, how to blend their motives with better cybersecurity habits, and you show them in a more effective way, I would say, how changing their behavior benefits them as well and the organization and everybody else. And communication, psychology teaches you to be a better communicator, I hope. Good enough, there is always room for improvement, but it helps you communicate those messages better to the board of directors or to different levels of employees and approach these topics from their perspective and their point of view. Now, on the other hand, in the offensive aspect of it, you learn to analyze social engineering techniques better because you see the social motives behind them, the psychological triggers that they try to pull and everything around them. You understand why they work, and you learn to work better in resolving those triggers and making people aware and basically managing those human weaknesses or those human tendencies. It doesn't have to be a weakness.
But as you just mentioned, sometimes it goes down to the individual, because as we know, the weakest point in an organization is sometimes the individual. It's one single person who falls into the trap of a cyber attacker. And that brings me to the next question. I guess that most of your clients are companies, big companies and organizations. And I would like to know on a scale from 1 to 10, how seriously do your clients take the danger that comes from social engineering? Do they think this is a small trend, we don't have to take this all too seriously? Or do they accept and recognize, oh no, this is a big danger?
So from a scale of 1 to 10, they understand it as a danger to the degree of 8 or 9. So then they really know it most of the time. Because, I mean, it's not just me, Christina, telling them that, hey, there's a social engineering threat out there. Most of the cyber threat landscape reports put social engineering in the top 5 for years. So if you don't know it, you probably live under a rock. Or, I don't know, I'm very curious to know how come. So the understanding is there, but that doesn't mean that they do something effective about it. Usually, and I don't know why this happens, I kind of do as well, but there are different reasons. Usually the budget that goes into social engineering defense is much lower. It's extremely disproportionate to the threat. So they prefer to put more budget into technical solutions and awareness solutions. They prefer to provide very basic training, teaching like 1, 2, 3 specific types of attacks and not everything else. That creates a false sense of security. It's a big pity. And they expect that this should be enough or that this is it. Now, why this happens is the fact that they believe people will always be the weakest link. This is not necessarily true. Thinking that training is not effective, also not necessarily true. It depends on what kind of training you use. Is it a generic video that has a list of do's and don'ts, or is it something engaging and relevant to the company? Many, many factors interplay. However, I have been lucky to also have some clients that say, hey, let's tackle this program, this problem. What do we need to get done? And let's work together to see how to change the sentiment within the company and how to increase the skill set and level of awareness.
And this is where the storytelling comes into play.
Yes, and it should come into play because you don't want people dreading the time that they have to go through training.
Hmm. No, nothing is more boring than a multiple choice test.
And the time before that.
Yeah, you already mentioned that a lack of a computer science degree is not something that should stop people going into cybersecurity. And what would have been your advice you would have liked received in advance, especially as a woman, when it comes to the topic cybersecurity?
When I was starting out, I wish I knew more women that were putting themselves out there, going to conferences, trying to learn more about the field. I wish I knew more women, and I wish those, the ones that I met, would have helped me understand that although cybersecurity has some excellent and extremely intelligent professionals that do good, there is also a fortunately small but still damaging portion of very intelligent cybersecurity professionals that do harm and that are predators. I wish I knew who they were, and I wish I knew how to spot them early and deal with it, because that has been very difficult for me and something I was not ready for when I started. I feel I was extremely naive. Now, it's way better. But the beginning was hard. I feel like I was very naive.
And now you are the role model.
Yeah.
For others.
I mean, I don't know. Thank you. Appreciate the compliment. I hope I can help somebody else.
Yeah, I'm sure too. And if you have any advice to young girls out there who are about to fall in love with IT or cybersecurity.
Right now.
Yeah.
I would advise them to be resilient, see if this topic comes again. Be resilient, stand your ground, be knowledgeable enough to stand your ground when it comes to debates, because you will be challenged. Community is still important, but it's one thing to be in a community and another thing to be respected in your community. And for that, you need to do your homework, you need to do your studying, you need to have certain skills and awareness. And if they ever come across a predator in the industry or outside the industry, please try to recognize the red flags from the beginning, which are not respecting the no's, putting a lot of pressure, debating you out of your no, all that stuff. Leave early, take advice from other people, and if somebody keeps coming back for you, collect all the messages that this person sends you, all the notes you send, if need be, recorded and reported.
Yeah, great advice.
Thank you very much.
It's very unfortunate, but it's the one thing I think about. Ah, and if you are a man, because why do we only advise girls about these things? If you are a man, or if you are any other person and you see somebody else being put into a difficult situation, say something. Not only in this industry, but in general. People can be good, they can be bad. If you see something that's not okay, step up, call it out, and help that other person.
I have goosebumps now.
Yeah.
Really?
A little bit, yeah. So that's a very good advice. And finally, don't forget the digital detox from time to time. Well, Christina, as I mentioned in the beginning, we had a ton of questions for you, and you all answered them patiently. So first of all, thank you very much for that.
It was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure for us too. And yeah, well, can I say, have fun in social engineering? No, that's not a good advice. That's a good
I mean, you can say have fun defending.
Yeah, have fun defending.
You can say try to keep your sanity and all those things.
Okay, good last words. Yeah. So thank you very much, Christina, and see you soon.
Thank you too. And see you soon.